Nice article in the Managing Madrid blog. Wonderful lads that do a great job there. And worth reading about that man there. Karim Benzema needs to rest, and the numbers reveal why.
Times ended up almost looking like a 6-3-1. Some very good writing about that on the Managing Madrid website. First rate podcast as well. Of course, Pere Valverde was a huge part of the equation.
Hello and welcome to the Managing Madrid podcast. It is Monday. It is El Día Después, and it is literally El Día Después. A rare time where actually we are recording the day after, and boy, Lucas, if El Día Después is about controversy and drama, boy, do we pick a good time, a good day to do El Día Después, because there are so many talking points from last night that we can draw out. So first of all, I'd like to welcome you to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me as always.
Of course. So where do you want to start?
We saw it coming. Proof is there, and for patrons, for listeners. I was concerned about Real Madrid dropping points against mediocre teams. And I'm obviously very disappointed in performance, and I don't enjoy the way the whole conversation has shifted towards the referee's decisions. I know it's obviously, I know the two of them were controversial, to say the least, and obviously very debatable, and maybe it's fair even to say that Real Madrid got the shortest end of the stick here with both decisions, but I think that it's quite lame to be complaining this much about referees' decisions on a match against Girona, which is they had only scored 1 point away from home this season, and this is their second. So it's quite lame. I mean, you want to do it after a Champions League semifinals with these very same calls against a quality team in a hard-fought game. I'm fine with that, but you have no business being 0-0 against Girona in the 70th minute. We saw it coming, and it's quite lame to me to be pointing towards the referee's decisions as much as Real Madrid's fan base and even the club is doing at the moment, in my opinion.
I 1,000% agree. I think it's super lame. I've already seen Kule saying, oh, look at the hypocrisy. You guys get mad. We talk about referees. No, I will not accept that. There's no double standard. I'm consistent with this. I don't like it when Real Madrid do it either. And people are saying like, okay, well, we played like shit. Agreed. We all agree with that. There's no one really saying, you know, we played amazing. We deserve to win. And deserve to win, like, okay, maybe. But, you know, if you look at the XG, Jose and I were talking about this yesterday. The XG was slightly in Real Madrid's favor. Nothing dominant. And it was slightly inflated because Rodrigo's double chance in the 88th minute was point blank. And up until that point, I think their XG was actually higher than ours. So a lot of the complaints I've seen are the same complaints that we complain about Barca fans doing.
At least they lost against Inter, not against Girona.
Yeah, and I was consistent with this. Like when they came out and started, when Alemani came out after the exit and complained about the referee, I thought that was dumb. Like they're talking about the wrong things. Same thing when Xavi complains. Same thing when Laporta came down in the VAR room in Clasico. I thought that was dumb. And if Florentino Perez does that, I think it's dumb too. This is not what we should be talking about. Now, I get that, like, okay, look, you know, we didn't play well, but it's also true that the referee, maybe we could have won that game if the referee gets, like, the Asensio penalty right. I get that. And I also think, like, this is how I see it. I think that the referees suck, with all due respect, but they suck for everybody. The thing is, like, every Real Madrid and Barcelona fan thinks it's against them, and we just don't hear from, like, Cadiz fans, Mallorca fans, Getafe fans, like Elche fans, who are getting screwed every week as well. I think the an appropriate reaction would be like, okay, can we just like all band together and fix this shit? Because the refs suck. The refs are getting stuff wrong. And by the way, last night's calls were actually a little bit debatable also. Like Rodrigo's by the rules. I like what Michel said. Michel said, hey man, like for me, like from a football perspective, that's not a foul. But also by the rules, it's kind of a foul. So like, I agree with Michel. It's just dumb. Like let the player try to go and score that if he can. You know what I mean? He had like a finger on it. It was like rolling away. He got a hand if you want to be really optimistic. But by the rules, it's a PK. I mean, it's a disallowed goal, sorry. The Asensio one, obviously, it's probably a different story. It's definitely open to interpretation. I think it's definitely a case that could not have been called, and you can argue it either way. I personally don't think it's a pen, but, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, I understand, like, if that's not called a penalty, the butterfly effect of that is obviously massive because Real Madrid probably have the momentum to see the game out. Maybe not. Maybe Girona score anyway. I don't know. We'll never know, I suppose. But it's obviously fair to think, okay, well, we could have got the result if that didn't happen. But coming out and putting it on your club's website, and Ancelotti talking about it after the game, that's one thing that I'm just like, I just don't resonate with that. I don't like that side of things. Like, I like to talk about the football. We can talk about referee incidents as a part of the game to analyze in those moments, but to come on and just, and look, maybe it's a PR thing, maybe it's to distract us from the performance, it's possible too. I will say this, Lucas, I also think this, another aspect of this is super dumb. The fact that there is, what do they call it, an integrity committee in Spain?
Yeah.
Who are looking at banning Ancelotti for 4 games. I also think that's pretty dumb too. Like, this is like, we don't need to shut down all these opinions and start turning this into dictatorship and turning a blind eye. Like, why don't we just like actually let referees come out, put out a statement. This is the reasoning for this decision. And, like, actually let, and be accountable. Like, we hold coaches accountable for saying things that we don't like. We ban fans from posting highlights on Twitter. And, like, just, like, get your shit together. Just come out and hold referees accountable. Why don't you put out grades for the referee? Did the referee do a good job today? Here's what the referee did wrong. Maybe the referee even, you know, has to come out and if they have, like, if they make 3 of these mistakes in a row, maybe we have to hold them accountable. I think everyone's just kind of losing their minds here, in my opinion. This is the way I see it. Or maybe it's me losing my mind. I don't know. But I just think, I just never liked that. I never resonated with the complaints and the excuses.
Look, Ian, people were counting the number of fouls committed by each team and called by each team last night.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous against Girona. Come on. If you, again, I'm more than fine with you if you feel like your team has been put in a disadvantaged position against a quality team in the Champions League semifinals in an important scenario, in a big game. If these same calls happen, I'm fine with you complaining, but this is Girona visiting the Bernabeu and you are counting the number of fouls called on each team on a home game against Girona. Come on, this is you should not, Real Madrid should not be doing this and Real Madrid fans should not be doing this. And put it this way, for everyone thinking that the referee made some huge, obvious, blatant mistakes last night, put it this way, if these two calls happen in El Clásico in favor of El Barcelona, what would you say? Like, imagine if the handball was on Ansu Fati and the referee doesn't call it and the foul was on whoever and the referee and again, and it favors, and the call favors Barcelona. You probably would be saying that that's a penalty. If it's Ansu Fati hitting on Asensio's position, fans would be complaining.
For sure they would, yeah.
Fans would be complaining. So, you know, it's not that obvious. You know, it's not that clear when you would be complaining had it been the other way around. And the same goes for, imagine if Fati scores the Rodrigo chance and the referee doesn't call a foul. You would be complaining about that being a foul. So it's not that obvious. It's not that clear. Maybe it's a mistake. Granted, I tend to think it's a mistake, but it's not that obvious of a robbery for you to be making this kind of a scene again in a home game against Girona. It's so lame. Just focus as a club, as a coaching staff, as a fan base, even just focus on making these games against manageable opposition actually manageable the way it should be. Just get them over with. Just get a 2-0, 3-0 lead and never look back and just cruise the rest of the game. We saw it coming. Real Madrid were taking these opponents so lightly all throughout the season. And at the Bernabeu, they seem to think that they're going to win because they are wearing Real Madrid shirt. This is not the way it goes. You need to work for it. Real Madrid didn't take Girona seriously and dropped 2 points that ultimately could be very costly by the end of the season.
That analysis is correct to me. And I guess there's a couple, two things, maybe three things that I thought of as you said that. Number one is that the proof of this being controversial and is part of it is that like there's no consensus of mm-hmm. what it is, right? Mm-hmm. I think we've largely reached a consensus on the Rodrigo decision. The Asensio one, I think there's like a 70% majority consensus of whether it was a penalty or not. But the fact that there's referees disagreeing with each other on this publicly, on public platforms in Spain, that's one thing. Like, okay, it wasn't as clear as you thought it was in the moment. You can make mistakes, whatever. That's one thing. Then you start seeing this. That number two is like you start seeing this back and forth argument between sets of fans. Barcelona fans posting videos of like, hey, look at all these things that that referees got wrong against us in those Chelsea games, the Arsenal games. I don't know, you know, there's a long list of all these, right? And then the Chelsea fans and the Inter fans and all these fans come out and be like, actually, these are the ones you also got in favor against us. Then you see Real Madrid fans putting in compilations of all the robberies. Then you see Barcelona fans respond, actually, look at all these robberies. Isn't that literally proof that there's no conspiracy and that refs suck for everybody? That's literally proof right there. That's proof. Number three is every single fan base in any sport thinks the refs are against them. I'm like, you must see this with the Nuggets too. Because when Raptors were playing the Sixers last year in the playoffs, every single thing was like every time somebody would, you know, blow on Embiid's hair, it was a foul. We'd send it along. The Raptors fans were going nuts. And then the Sixers fans thought that the refs were against them because there were a bunch of things that they weren't getting calls for. And it's like, this is just, it's a universal thing. Everyone thinks there's a conspiracy against them. And that's part of the reason why I don't talk about it. I'm happy actually to talk about decisions that are wrong, but let's keep it at that. And if we're going to talk about it, let's just band together and say, how can we actually hold referees accountable? Because what I see in La Liga, what I see in the Premier League, even in Serie A, what I see, and I don't really watch much outside of those three, to be honest, but what I see in all those three leagues, that there's just, it's just massive errors constantly. VAR is a good thing. It's a good thing, but hey, it's still humans running it, and that's what makes it completely fallible, you know?
Yeah. Just focus, if you want to talk about errors and wrong decisions, let's just stick to what Real Madrid did wrong. Let's just stick to Rodrigo missing that chance in the first place. I mean, there's no foul if Rodrigo makes that point-blank chance in the first place. I'm not saying it was that easy. Obviously, he had to reach for it and all that, but we can also say that it's a fairly good scoring chance. Let's all talk about how, in my opinion, Ancelotti made a wrong decision by taking Camavinga out of the game and to play Asensio.
Yeah.
You know, focus on the things you did wrong. Let's just move on and focus on why you shouldn't be complaining about referees in the first place, because you should have been 2-0 by the time Vinicius scored Madrid's first goal. You should be 2-0 by the 60th minute or so. It shouldn't be a game by then, by that minute. If we want to talk about wrong decisions, just and errors and mistakes, let's just focus on what Real Madrid did wrong, in my opinion. And obviously they did plenty of wrong in that game. Real Madrid are not in very good form. Their last two games were quite terrible, in my opinion. Kind of escaped a very similar situation against Sevilla, because the game was 1-1 by the, I don't know, 75th minute or so. So form for Real Madrid is not great at the moment. I don't see fire or intensity or composure from the team against what should be a smaller or mediocre teams. And I think again, if they don't take these games more seriously, they will end up dropping points. You know, this weekend was a disaster for Real Madrid in the sense that, you know, Barcelona got a very valuable away win against Valencia very late in the game when they actually struggled, and ultimately Real Madrid, I mean, you cannot drop 2 points against Barcelona in this weekend, and they did, and this is definitely something that could definitely help Madrid in the long run.
Yeah, look, there's still time. There's still going to be, you know, there's going to be more blips, more wins.
Strength of a schedule has been in favor of Madrid so far this season, and this will be a concern later on. I think Barcelona have had a tougher schedule than Real Madrid so far.
Well, we've been away to the Metropolitano.
Sure.
They had Sanchez Pizjuan away. No matter how bad Sevilla is, I suppose that's still. It's. I think it's a tougher game on the schedule now, actually, because I think Sevilla will get better.
Yeah.
Look, I even like you mentioned that it should have been 2-0 by a certain point. It could also have been 2-2 because Girona had three. Like the Valentin Castellanos miss in the second minute was massive, a big miss. Yankel Herrera, when he hits the post after Real Madrid just melts in transition defensively. Then even after the penalty, Rodrigo Riquelme has a great chance in the box too in the 80th minute. And we weren't like, let's be honest, like the Rodrigo chance that hits the post in the first half, the Morata shot that goes wide, those weren't great chances. They were shots in the box, but they weren't like these massive clear-cut chances. The other thing I've seen is that a lot of people are like, well, we should have won because Asensio's shot was saved miraculously by Gazzaniga. Remember the one that was point blank, right?
Yeah.
This is like, that's exactly what we hated when fans would say about us that we were lucky in the Champions, like, oh, Courtois saved your ass, you know, Mendy goal line clearance, so you didn't deserve to win. Like, and we were furious at those comments. Like, no, because we had the best goalkeeper, like, you know, we had heroic defending. That doesn't mean we didn't deserve to win. That's just, again, I that's why I don't like making those same. I don't want to have double standards with that and say, oh, well, we deserve to win because Gazzaniga made a great save, you know. So I think that's also one I want to point that out. Look, Girona played a hell of a game yesterday.
Yeah.
And this is one thing. I agree with you about the substitution. I don't necessarily hate Asensio coming in that situation, but I do think Camavinga was having a good game.
Absolutely.
And Cruz, by his immaculate standards, wasn't playing at that Cruz level.
And had a yellow card.
To be fair, I never expected him to get a second yellow because it's Cruz, but he got it for the first time in his career. He got a red card. But yeah, I think Camavinga was pretty active in breaking lines. He was working hard. I liked his performance yesterday.
I liked him, yeah.
And Girona is a team that, to be quite honest with you, I think they're better than their position. They've been a little bit unlucky this season. Some of these games they've lost have been very narrow. They have good players. They have talented players who can make a difference. But that may neither be here nor there. The bottom line is that these are games on the schedule you have to win. And 100%. these are the games on the schedule that Real Madrid often drop points in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now they will have to possibly at least beat Barcelona at the Camp Nou if these mistakes keep happening. I don't see Barcelona dropping these kinds of games. I'm sorry. I don't.
No.
They might drop points against Atletico. At the Wanda, and Madrid didn't. Okay, that's fair. Madrid show up against quality opposition, but Barcelona get business done against the smaller teams, way better than Madrid. Way better than with this version of Lewandowski, obviously, and with the past version of Luis Suarez. We've seen this in the past for the last 5-6 seasons. Obviously, not last season, not the pandemic year either. But when Suarez, when Barcelona had a striker in their prime, they always showed up in against the smaller oppositions, and Madrid did it. Madrid used to take these games very lightly in La Liga, and it cost them, and it will cost them in the future if they keep not showing up and taking these games very lightly. Barcelona would have never dropped points against Girona at home, I don't think. The only sample size we have here is on the very first week of the season, Rayo. I think it was Rayo at home.
Yeah.
Fine, it's fair. But they've won every single game, Liga game, so far, obviously with the exception of El Clásico after that one. So Real Madrid will have to do a better job against the smaller teams.
This is irrefutable. I will never place any money on Barcelona winning a big game, because there's always that chance where they can't defend. They don't know what's going on. It's like a different level of playing field for them. But I will never bet against them in these games. And it's proven. Like, look at this season too. I mean, like you said, look, the record speaks for itself. The goals conceded speaks for itself. They've only conceded one goal, I think, in La Liga, apart from the Clásico game, 3 goals in that game. But everything else, they've conceded one goal. So they'll concede, I think, 12 goals combined in 5 games against Bayern, Inter, Real Madrid. But against these other teams, not even Villarreal, who are on paper a decent fit for them. Those guys just could.
Bilbao, too.
Bilbao, I mean, that's the thing. I will say there is more room for them to drop points away at San Mamés than it is at the Camp Nou. Same thing with Cerámica. I could see it. But at the Camp Nou, they typically get it done. So you have to, I agree with you. I think you may have received some pushback about this being a 95-point league.
It's quite clear now, I think. I mean,
it's just like, there's not, yeah, they'll drop points at some point. No team is going to go through it perfectly, and we'll drop points too. But it's clear, the margin of error is small this season. It's very clear to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever agreed with you this much on the podcast before.
Yeah, it seems to me like we were both agreeing on each other's points, yeah.
The Thursday mailbag will change it, I think.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Okay, so like I told you off air, I'm happy to have a shorter podcast because my kids want to go trick-or-treating tonight. But yes, I also have a few more minutes. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Or
not really. Just looking forward to Madrid, hopefully demolishing. Nothing against Celtic. I think they are a very respectable team, and I kind of have some kind of sympathy for them because of their history and all that. But just want to see Real Madrid demolishing a team in a manageable game. Just want to see that. I just want to see the team bouncing back from these last 2 games and just have an easy, comfortable game against Celtic. An encouraging one. It's hopefully a big margin, a big score for Madrid. It's not that I want the game to be 5-0 or something like that, but I don't want the game to be still alive by the 60th or 70th minute. I just want to see Real Madrid taking care of business in a good way against Celtic. And they need it too, by the way.
Let me ask you this. Where are you on the idea that Real Madrid's players are starting to take it easy before the World Cup? Do you believe that?
Yeah, but not Real Madrid's players, everyone.
Yeah.
Every single player around the world, I think. We saw who left the field the other day for Barcelona with Eric Garcia, I thought. I think some players, as soon as they're feeling some discomfort, some pain, they have on the back on their minds that the World Cup is there, and we're seeing that from players who are potentially going to be in the squad list for their countries in the World Cup. I think it's fair, and I think it's reasonable, and I think it's not exclusive to Real Madrid. I think we're seeing it pretty much around the world. It's logic and it's normal. As much as that sucks, and I'm not a fan, obviously, but I think it happens, and I think everyone's human there, and I think most players around European football are taking these games a little bit cautiously from that perspective. Yeah,
I forget which team in the Premier League or which player this was also an issue on with regards to World Cup and taking it easy and stuff. But I do know that this is something that many fans are observing and discussing about, like, okay, it looks like it's possible that these players really have the World Cup in the back of their mind now, and they don't want to risk getting injured and stuff. And I think that's, I'm not going to excuse it either way, but I'm not saying that I wouldn't be in that position if I was a player too, thinking about, like, oh, making history for my country in a couple of weeks. We saw Varane leaving in tears in that game against, and I don't really know what his situation is now, but there are also a lot of pretty good players missing the World Cup as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
in the game against between Barcelona and Valencia, we saw Eric Garcia and we saw Cavani too. Taking an early substitution because some kind of discomfort there. Now it turns out that neither of them has a big injury. So it's common and it's happening around the world. It's not exclusive to Real Madrid players. So people should stop complaining as much as they are, I think, about especially about a player like Benzema, who is getting a lot of heat, in my opinion, on social media about that, when he's 34 years old and he knows that it's going to be a long season for Real Madrid too. So it's also in Real Madrid's interest to keep him fresh and ready for the last third of the season, I think. But anyway, we know that, you know, Benzema probably still has some critics around Real Madrid's fan base. Those critics were probably waiting on something like this to happen after how brilliant he's been for the last two or three seasons. So, and it seems to be happening now. But if you take a look at European football, and a sample size with, again, I just mentioned two examples in the game between Valencia and Barcelona, with two key undisputed starters for the clubs like Cavani and Eric Garcia taking an early substitution because some kind of discomfort, and it turns out that neither of them was injured either. So,
being a critic of one of the greatest players in club history is such a weird concept to me. Like,
yeah, people didn't say anything with when Ronaldo went to the Euro Cup with Portugal after a big knee discomfort, in 2014, I think it was. He ended the season with Real Madrid playing in La Décima while he was hurt. Obviously, nothing against that, because he showed up for Real Madrid and he played those games. Mm. But the smartest decision from him would have been, I'm taking the Euro Cup out.
There's no chance, because
there's no chance that's happening. And the same goes for Benzema, Eric Garcia, and Cavani. They're not, if they feel some kind of discomfort 1 month away from the World Cup, which is definitely bigger than the Euro Cup, there's no way they're risking a big injury against what should be manageable opposition like Girona and the likes of that. So it's happening.
The newest development is that Pogba's probably going to miss the World Cup. I think it's like 95% he's done. He's not going to he's not going to play. And I wonder what that means for Camavinga now.
The champs wasn't very very excited about Camavinga the last FIFA break, it doesn't seem. There were some controversial head-scratching quotes from the champs, in my opinion, about
that's true. But I mean, if Pogba drops out, that's definitely one space.
Sure, absolutely, should be there, and definitely a chance for Tchouaméni to be an undisputed starter for France. I think he was already, but now even more crucial for France too. Camavinga, I don't think he'll start. He should be on the list, I think, even though his start to the season hasn't been ideal. I think he has somewhat picked it up in recent games. I thought he was good, very good against Girona the other day. But I don't know. The quotes from the champs were a bit, again, head-scratching, if you will, considering how young Camavinga is and how big of prospect he is for both for France and for Real Madrid, obviously.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. We'll see if he gets called up or not. I mean, I think if he gets called up, he's probably going to be a fringe a fringe player in some ways with regards to playing time. I don't know how prominent he'll be, but we'll see how that goes. All right. Well, look, the World Cup is almost here. We got three games. We got Celtic tomorrow, and then Rayo, and then Cádiz, right?
And Cádiz, yeah.
So tomorrow over on patreon.com/managingmadrid, we're doing a post. No, sorry. No, we're not. We don't play Celtic
Wednesday.
We play Celtic Wednesday, yeah. So on Wednesday night, we're doing a Zoom podcast after the game, about 1 hour after the game. If you want the link to join us on Zoom and access the podcast, go over to patreon.com/managingmadrid. And we're also doing the Thursday mailbag there as well on patreon.com/managingmadrid. Lucas and I go through and answer Real Madrid questions from fans, and that's always a lot of fun. And yeah, that's as far as we'll go. So, Lucas, this was fun. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
No problem, Kian. Have fun trick or treating.
Thanks, buddy. All right. We'll talk soon. Take care. Peace.
You too. Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. We wanted to give a quick shout-out to our patrons over on patreon.com/managingmadrid before we wrap up the podcast and send you along on your way. So thank you to everyone who's part of the Patreon family. You get a ton of bonus content in return. A lot of value. You join the Real Madrid family. It's great to have you in there, so thank you. We also wanted to give a shout out to our $10+ patrons who not only get guaranteed responses to their questions, but also get a shout out on the podcast. So shout out to Brandon Alvarez, Willie Reed, Will Sousa, Wei Pering, Wamik Jamal, Tobias Arroyo Botcher, Tarek Goktas, Talib Salhab, Tahmid Kalam, Sushank Damala, Sujai Wani, Sumanshu Singh, Sheikh Atiri, Shamil, Shabal Sharapov, Sergio Arispe, Santos Solorzano, Samuli Justin, Samer Z, Said Mahad, Sai Mohan Sasi Kumar, Rodrigo Balmaceda, Rishi D, Phoenix, Peter Powell, Paulo Fierro, Patrick Odiafari, Oscar Barrera, Nico Laxo, Nicholas Moeller, Nick Ribeiro, Mowgli, MJ Diego, Michael Zinberg, Marin Myrtle, Matthew Atkins, Martin Ridman, Magnus Lext, Logan Stahl, Leon Savarnakis, Kunal Tilakar, Crystal Glass, Kevin Rivera, Jose Cruz, John Fernandez, Jeff Thurston, Jason Fitz, Ian Marley, Graham Gerard, Gary Kohut, Frederick Antakiro, Frederick Sundros, Faisal Hamdan, S.A. Davisito, Eloy Enriquez, Edward Sossman, Daniel Williams, Con P, Christian Toft, Christian Acosta, Charles Williams, Brendan Powers, Ashik Bashar, Arnab Mukherjee, Armand Gashi, Armando L, Antons Rudenko, Anirudh Singh, Ananya Kumar, Alex Thyberg, Al, Azaz Hussein, Adrian Rios, Adar Zalukovic, Adam Dorsey, Bella Chow, Varun Ramtin Maghrur, Fabian Moreno, and Daniel Smith. Love you guys so much. Thank you for the support. Thank you for being on this journey with us. And Hala Marid.